Today's daf is daf Kuf Yud. So we got to the, or I hope everyone got to the top of Kuf Yud.
Yes.
Two lines down, the Gemara says, Ki Salak Rabbi Elazar. And Elazar went to Eretz Yisrael. So Ashechal Ziri, he found Ziri. And Amrullah, he says to him, Ika Tana Dasni Lerav Kechal. Is there a person here who teaches like Rav with respect to Kechal? So if you look at Rashi, Rashi explains three lines down, the Asne Lerav Kechal. Yesh Kan Misha Shana Lerav Kechal Shebishlu. Below Korea, one who takes an udder and doesn't tear it apart and cooks it, Aser Bachila, is it still going to be Aser Bachila? What's his psak? Anyone here in Eretz Yisrael know what he holds? What happened was, Achvai Lerav Yitzchak Bar Avdumi, they pointed him to the direction of Rav Yitzchak, and he would probably know. So they went to him in Amrlei, and Rabbi Elazar found him. He says to him, Ani lo shanisi lo kchal kol ikra. I never taught the din at all of kchal. I don't know anything about this. However, what I do know is, look at just Rashi for a second, three narrow lines down. Ani lo shanisi lo kchal kol ikra. Klomer shum kchal lo shanisi lo le'isr. Ben chal minika, ben chal she'ena minika. I never taught any din about an udder. I was never usher, in other words, whether it was an udder that was currently in the process of nursing a calf or wasn't nursing. I never taught an isser with regards to kchal. But however, he says the Gemara, Rav, Bika Matzah, V'gadar Bar Gedar. Rav, however, even though I have a Masorah of not asering the Kchal at all, Rav found a breach in the way they're protecting, keeping Halacha, and he built a fence, the Rav Ikle Le Tat Lafish. He visited some place, and Rivar de Bisra, he heard, sorry, I skipped a line, Shamalahi Itza, he heard a certain woman saying, De Kamre de Chavertu, she's saying to her friend, Rivar de Bisra, Kama Chava Bailu Bashule, if I'm taking a certain amount, a quarter of a meat, and I want to cook it with milk, how much milk, what's the ratio of milk I should cook with meat? So that, of course, is a strange thing, that's an Itza de Raisa. So he said, Amr lo gemir de basa b'chav aser. Does this lady not know, does this town not know that's aser, timivasha basa b'chav, what are they doing? And therefore he made a gzera, wanting to teach them how far to go in terms of bishul of bishul basar b'chalav. He asked including the isser deraisa, which already exists. He taught them the isser, he educated them, but he also added on top of it a gzera that they shouldn't eat chal, it's asr across the board. So the Gemara says, Rav Kahana Masne Hachi. That was all the interpretation, the way Rav Kahana heard this Maisa. However, Rabbi Yossi Bar Abba Rabbi Yossi taught it differently. Ana Kchal Shabmanika Shanisilo. So when they asked Rav Yitzchak initially what he heard from the Shema Rav, he said, I personally, my Misara is that only if it's a Kchal, an udder, that was from a mother that was actively nursing its calf and there was a lot of Chalav there, that's the only time a Kchal was usher. But it was a Kchal of a cow that wasn't in the process of nursing at all, meaning there wasn't a lot of milk there, that my Misara was to say mutter. However, from the sharpness of Rabbi Chia, the Gemara talks in a few places how sharp Rabbi Chia was, it came out that a stam chal was aser. What does that mean? So take a look at Rashi. Rashi explains, chal meinika, Rashi explains, shahayisa meinika, v'yesh b'dadeha chalav kanis harbe. So that's where it was aser. That was Rav Yitzchak's Masorah. It was aser only if it was a nursing mother. A non-nursing mother, it wouldn't be aser. U'mitoch b'pulosh Rabbi Chia, Shumachudad Meod, he was extremely sharp and fast. Umavin Miatsmo, he understood on his own. When he Chasavar, Shetamidav Mechudadim Kemosa, he assumed his Tamidim were just as sharp as he was. Ukshechazar Vashanil Fnei Rabbi Chia Shanil Ostam. And when they taught in front of Rabbi Chia, they taught Stam. They thought, oh, Chal is Aser across the board. That's how the Rabbi Chia's Tamidim were learning it. Vesavar, he thought, Sheyavin Rav, Shein Aser Elamanika, Flohavin. Even though Rav was chazing over his halachas, and he said, oh, Chal is Aser, he didn't say Chal Shemanika, he just said Chal Stam. So why didn't Rabbi Chia define it and say, no, only Chal Shemanika is Aser? He assumed Rav knew the difference, and he didn't explain, he didn't stop him. And however, Rav didn't really know the difference. Rav thought Chal Stam was Aser, and since Rabbi Chia never corrected him, he assumed that was, in fact, the halacha. So that was the back and forth, what happened in two different versions of the story.
It would seem that if somebody's using a cow for milking, it would be the same halacha as a minika, right?
No, I would imagine the same thing, because there's a lot of milk there. That's it. It doesn't make a difference whether the calf is drinking it or whether it's being milked for...
It's the same thing.
Yeah, same thing. Yeah, same thing.
Yeah. It's a calf or
exactly. So then the Gemara says, Rab and Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef Ikloy Lebe Rav Papa. They went to visit the house of Rav Papi. Icy Lekamayu Tavshul Dekal. They brought out a nice cooked piece of udder. And Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef Achal, he ate it, right? And that was a different Rav Yitzchak from the before. Before it was Rav Yitzchak Bar Avadimi, this is Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef. So Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef ate the Kchal. Rabin lo achal, Rabin refused to eat it. So Amar Abai, Abai says, Rabin tachla, amai lo achal. So why don't you eat this? So Rabin tachla, what's tachla mean? So Rashi explains that it was a nickname they gave him, shakel or shikel kover esbanav. Rabin had a very tough life. He buried his children. And they describe in that chron, why were they mentioning this in this context here? And they mention it as a, somehow a limud zchus of some sort, why he wasn't following the halacha correctly, because his mind was, he was completely overburdened with tsar. But either way, Rabin Tachla, why wasn't he eating the kchal? So he said, he explained, they went further to explain, Michli, de Beisa, de Rab Papi, who was the wife of Rab Papi, who was the one, of course, cooking in the kitchen? It was Barte de Rav Yitzchak Nafka. She was the daughter of a chashev, one of the gedolim at the time, the daughter of Rav Yitzchak Nafka. Rav Yitzchak Nafka, Maridu Uvda Havi. Marid Uvda means, Rashi explains, Zahir b'mayisim tovim. He was very careful in everything he did. So everything he did, you could learn from the halacha. Now, Elav the Shemir Lemi Bein Asa, had she not heard this from her father's house, from Rav Yitzchak's house, she, lo hava avdi, she wouldn't have done it. So the fact that she's serving chal must be that it's allowed, and therefore everyone should be able to eat this. So that's the Gemara. So this becomes a very interesting question, because there's a shaila what happens when a wife and husband get married. And they have different minhagim. A Sephardi marries an Ashkenazi. Kitnios, all those types of halachas, the woman's always nigrar acha the husband. So the husband is a Sephardi, and he eats kitnios on Pesach, and he marries an Ashkenazi, she's allowed to now eat in the kitnios. So just because she came from the house of Rav Yitzchak and had a certain halacha, marrying in doesn't mean you have to follow that same halacha. So this is a question that Rav Moshe asks this question. So first he says that it's not true of all minhagim. Most minhagim are true. But there's certain minhagim that are higher levels, that are more nidarim, and a nether type of minhag, she cannot undo. She has to continue those nether. Now, how do you define minhag versus nether? It's hard. But a nether that she took from her father's house, that she has to hold on to. But then he makes an about face, or Moshe says, even the minhagim that she was keeping were not Taurus nether. None of them are Taurus nether. She was doing it because she was in the father's house. She was showing respect to her father. She never did anything but Taurus nether. And therefore, when she gets married, she does follow all the minhagim of her husband. But he does suggest, when it comes to something serious, that's serious as kitnios, she should perhaps do a hataras nedarim before taking on the minhagim of her husband. So this is a very interesting gemara in light of that shaila. Then the gemara says, "Besura lo achli chal bepumtisa achli chal." Then these two big cities in Babel, there's machlokas. Sura they ate the udder, and pumtisa they did not eat the udder. Rami bar Tamre, Dehavi Rami bar Dikule, Rami bar Tamre, two different names. Tamre is the date, Dikule is the name of the date tree, so that was his, he must have had a date farm or something, I don't know. So he was from Pumbedisa. And Ikle Lasura, so he came from Pumbedisa, in a place where they would eat Kchal. And then he went to Sura, Bimali Yom HaKidikipur, he was there on Erev Yom Kippur. And Afkinu Kula Alma, everyone there in Sura would take out, remove Lekchalinu, they would take out the Kchal from the cow. And Shadinu, they throw it in the garbage, because in their surah, they wouldn't eat the udder. Azal iu, naktinu, achlinu. So what did Rami Bar Tamer do? He went ahead and collected all the udders from the garbage, and achlinu, he ate it. Every Yom Kippur, there's a big mitzvah to eat all day, so he ate udders all day long. So Aisu, the Kamid of Chista, they brought him to Rav Chista, who is the posek of surah, and they brought him forward asking Rav Chista, what in the world are you doing? Amrle, amai tavid hachi, why would you do this? Amrle, he can't eat udder, udders are asr. So what does Rami Bar Tamer say? Back to Amrle, me asr de Rav Yehuda, and I come from this, the city of Rav Yehuda, the achal, and he ate it. So my minag is to eat chal. Amrle, so Rav Chista says, granted, when you are there, you're allowed to eat v'les lecha, but do you not hold to the din? No sin alav chomri ha-makom she-yotza misham, v'chomri ha-makom she-holach l'sham. You have to take on the stringencies from where you come, and the stringencies from where in where you are. And since you are in Surah, and our custom here is not to eat chal, you can't eat it either. So how could you eat the chal? I'm eating outside the tchum, and therefore outside the tchum, you don't have to keep any of the chumras of the makom. It's not considered part of that makom. But how in the world did you roast it? I know you didn't eat the udder raw, so what did you do to roast it? Oh, not a problem. Amalei bepritzani. What's pritzani? Pritzani is, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, chartzanim she'etel hayikavim vivartim. It's the peels of the grapes, of the pits of the grapes that he used that were left out in the field, and he had burned them. That was the firewood he used to roast the kchal. So Dilma Miyai Nesachavya, who says, you know, Surah is a very wonderful city of Talmidei Chachamim, but not everyone here is Jewish. So maybe it came from people worshiping Avodah Zarah. Maybe it's Yai Nesach, and you can't get Hana from Yai Nesach. What's to prove that's permitted? He was a very big bucky. He knew 12 months has passed, and after 12 months, even the grapes, the peels, the pits, all that, it's no longer awesome. I knew it was 12 months. He was able to ascertain that it was 12 months passed. The Dilma, the Gazahavi, maybe they're stolen. Maybe some guy left it out there to come retrieve after some time, and it would be a din of Gzela. I know that the Ba was Miyayish. The Hakadchu Bahani Chilfa. So, because it was overgrown with grass, and once it's overgrown with grass, that clearly shows that the Baal was Miyayish on them, and that's why I had every right to eat it. It wasn't Gzela, it wasn't Yai Nesach, and therefore I was able to eat the Kab because it was outside the Tchum of Surah. So that wasn't the only strange thing that Rami Bar Tamra did or didn't do. The Gemara goes on further and says, Chilfa, Chazia de lo havi marach tefillin. They saw that he wasn't wearing tefillin. So what was this, another halacha not to wear tefillin? Amalei, my time lo manchas tefillin. They challenged him and said, why are you not wearing tefillin? Amalei, chulim ayin hava. I've got a bad stomach ache and I can't put tefillin on. So then Amar Rav Yehuda tells us, and remember he came from the Asr, he paskin like Rav Yehuda, that was his Rebbe, chulim ayin patim not tefillin. A person who's got a stomach ache in and out of the bathroom should not wear tefillin. It's inappropriate to wear tefillin. Then they saw chazi de lahavi karami chuti. They saw he wasn't wearing strings. He wasn't wearing tzitzis. Amalei, my time less the chachute. We see you're wearing a four-cornered garment. A four-cornered garment requires tzitzis. How come you're not wearing tzitzis? Amalei, talis she'ulahi. It's a borrowed talis. I don't own it. Vamar Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda explains, going on to Amin Beis now, a talis she'ula kol shloshim yom ptur minat tzitzis. A borrowed tzitzis, a borrowed talis rather, even though it's four-cornered garment, does not require wearing tzitzis. Fine. So then before you go right there, you had a question about Daraisa, you said what? So look at Tosas on the top here. Tosas writes, Tal Shula Ptura Kol Shloshim Yom. Says Tosas, Midiraisa Ptura Liolam, Midiraisa, you're putter forever. Hey, if I borrow a talus for 3 years, 5 years, I'm putter from ever wearing tzitzis on that talus. Kidakam Rabbarashis Agaz, which is in our Mesech, the Daf Kuf Lamedzayim, Kisus Chavalo Shelachem, Elafisha nearest Kishelo, since it appears as if it's mine, since I'm wearing the shirt for multiple days, it seems that it's mine, it's Maros Ayin, Chayvuhu Chachamim Mishloshim Yom Veilach. After 30 days, then you're already required to put on the tzitzis. It's not normal for a person to borrow more than 30 days. Typical she'ela is 30 days or less. Once you have it more than 30 days, wait a second, this is not a shula. This must be owned by that guy. Why is he not wearing tzitzis? He doesn't know we had a different type of setup. And therefore, they said, once 30 days passes, you must put out tzitzis on a borrowed talis. Umikan toses right to medaktik rabbeinu tam, the stam she'ela shloshim yom kimo halva. That he assumed that a stam she'ela, if there was an agreement that you could borrow my item, the understanding is 30 days is the stam case. That's the default. Just like by halva, we have in Mefurish Gemar Makos and Gemar Bamitzi and many other places, it says, Hamal ves chaveru stam. I'm lending you money, not an object. She'ela is an object. Money is a malva, halva. So I'm lending you money. I don't specify the date, the terms. Ein reshai letova pachas mishloshim yom. I cannot claim the money from you less than 30 days. And then he says, further in Tosos here, Venir de ain raya mizeh. I don't think there's a raya from that case. The hachanami amrina ba'atcheles, it says in the Perek P'tcheles of Gemar Menachos, Hasocher bayis b'chutzlaretz, if a person rents a house in chutzlaretz, kol shoshim yon pater. He doesn't have to put a mezuzah up the first 30 days. Well, wait a second. What's the connection of a mezuzah 30 days and schiris? Avagav de stam schiris lo hav yishloshim yon. When a person rents, or leases an apartment, it's not 30 days. It's usually a year. That's a stam schiris is 30 days. So we see, even though schiris is a year, there still is a requirement to put a mezuzah up on 30 days. So just because after 30 days you have to put on a tzitzis on your baggage shula, doesn't mean that a stam shela is necessarily 30 days. Again, by schiris, I have to put a mezuzah on after 30 days. But it doesn't mean a stam schiris is 30 days. Stam schiris is still a year. So just because I need to put a tzitzis on a she'ula after 30 days, doesn't mean a stam she'ela is necessarily 30 days. It could be longer, and therefore he didn't like this raya. That's really a little further in this Tosas, because it's interesting Tosas. We'll go a few more lines down. Tosas says further, With respect to a bracha on a tal shula, you should not say a bracha on a borrowed talis. Now, you're discussing this in the morning, Andy. I know in terms of borrowing a talis and the shul talis, who owns it? Does everyone have an ownership, or is it owned by the tzibur and you're borrowing it? So there's a big shaila in the post on what to do when it comes to a talis of a base knesset. But let's say you're borrowing a talis. The practice is not to say a bracha on a borrowed talis. Exactly. That's a big machlokas, but we assume that everyone has an ownership in it, so you're considered right. The Baal. If I borrow your talis, I would not say brach unless you give it to me as a matana.
But the shul, we learned that.
Correct. Exactly. So then the Gemara says, now even though there's no bracha on the case of a shula, afa pisha omer rabbeinu tam dinoshim mivarchos asuka afa gav de pturos tavi einu mitzuviyose. Wait a second. A woman who sits in the sukkah, she's potter. But if she wants to, she says a bracha. So if I wear shula, which is patr, shouldn't I also say a bracha? Shouldn't those two cases be comparable? A woman patr in sukkah, bracha. I'm patr in a shula, I should say a bracha as well. The Tosa says there's a difference. He says, Mikol makom lo dami. I skipped the line here, 1 second. Rav Yosef, who was a Summa, who was blind, who said, whoever passing like Rav Yehuda, I'm going to make a big feast for the rabbis. If he couldn't say a bracha, he wouldn't be so happy. So it must be you could say brachas, even though you're pater. Summa's pater, he says a bracha. A Nashim are pater, they say a bracha. So why don't we say brachas by a tal shula, which is pater? So he says, Mikol makom lo damu, the tal shula. Dehasam, by the case of sukkah, adam acher hayachayev. She'eno suma, one who's not blind, or she'eno isha, a man, is chayev in sukkah. So this sukkah is chayev to someone out there. Ava, when it comes to hacha, by the case of a tal shula, kol adam pater kesheno shelo. Everyone is pater from putting tzitzis on a tal shula. There's no one who's chayev here in this case, and therefore, so then that he passed, and that's why there's no bracha on a tal shula. You can't bring a raya from the case of a suma in a case of a shula. Rav Pikin, he does write hamavarech lo hifsid. One who does say a bracha on a tal shula doesn't lose out nonetheless. And last point in Tosa before I finish up the Gemara, Tosa writes, V'yesh mefarshim dim ha'yisha kalayim. Let's say the talis is shakalayim, could go in a case of tcheles tasura. We know that you can't wear shatnez clothing. But if you're wearing tcheles, halachically permitted tcheles, that's correct tcheles, you're allowed to wear shatnez. You could have wool and linen together, only there's tcheles. So let's say I borrow your shatnez talis. Can I now wear it? So he says, you actually also to wear, because kevin de b'tur mideraisa, since I'm pater from wearing his mideraisa, there's no chiyav mitzvah asay, which is going to be docha, it's a shatnez that's there. So then he says, you're not allowed to wear someone else's shatnez talis, which will be very nogea when the Beis Hamikdash comes back. Now people think that a person should wear, when we have right tcheles, we should wear shatnez. It's dafka shatnez, it's not true. Rambam writes that there's a heter to wear shatnez if there's tcheles, but that's not recommended. It's actually recommended not to wear shatnez even with tcheles. But so if one were to have a shatnez talis with the tcheles, it would be awesome for someone to borrow and wear such a beged. Rabbeinu Tam goes on to say, I don't believe this is true, and he has a whole long shakletar why he thinks you are even allowed to borrow someone else's shatnez talis if it has tcheles. Okay, back inside the Gemara now, we're busy discussing how Rami Bar Tamer did a number of different things. He ate udder, he didn't wear tefillin, he didn't wear tzitzis. The Gemara now goes further, two lines down here on Amud Beis. Adahachi, after this point, I see lehahu gavra, they brought a certain person in front of him. They brought a person in front of, this is the Beis Din Rav Chista, while Rami Bar Tamer was there, they brought an individual who was not being mechabit, his mother and his father. Kaftu, they ended up giving him lashes. Kaftu, says Rashi al Ha'amud, Balkosa, they tied him up, they bound him up against a pillar, and says Rashi further, Kidatanya, Bamed Vamar Murim, Dar Barim Vesulo, Bemitzis Losase, Shekvar Nasas Aveira. God did Aveira, we give him 39 lashes, no more than that. There's a limit. Aval, Rashi explains, mitzvah asay, shelefanov, veina rotza lekaima. There's a mitzvah he has to do, and he doesn't want to perform it, could go in Omer lo asay sukkah, build a sukkah, veina osa. Or ase lula veina osa. We're makinoso achete tenafsha. We hit him until he dies, or he does the mitzvah. So that's what was going on here. So he wasn't being mechab his parents. He was a mitzvah asay. He was refusing to do so. So the din is they started giving him lashes. So what happened? Amar lahu, Rahim bar Tamri, who was visiting and saw this event going on in the Bezdin, was shocked. He said, Shafku, leave the guy alone. Disani, the Braisa tells him, kol mitzvah asay, shematan schara bitzi. Any mitzvah where the Torah prescribes the schar right next to it, ein bezdin shalamata muzharnala. And says in Rashi, first in our line down, shamatan schar bitsida, it says the schar next to the mitzvah in the pasuk, leman yarichun yamecha by kirav ein, parshas Yisroel in the aseret adibros. Lechach perish matan schar, since it explains the schar of arichas yamim, imlo tikaimo, tikaimen, if you won't fulfill the mitzvah, zeron, this is your punishment, shlo tital schar zeh, you're going to miss out on arichas yamim. So whenever the Torah itself builds the schar and the onash in the pasuk, bezdin shamat has no right to intervene, to leave the guy alone. So then, Amalei Rav Chista saw Chazin Alachter Harifas Tuva. He saw he was very, very sharp. That Rav Dimi was very, very sharp. And rather, Rami Bar Tami was very sharp. Amalei, Rami says, you think I'm sharp? If you have a basi there of Yehuda, you've been in the place of Yehuda, Hachvan Elachachur, I'll show you real sharpness. My Rebbe Rav Yehuda, he's really sharp, not just me. Look at Tosas, Dimam Asal Kol, Komitz Asay, Shematan Schar Vahule. Tosas asks, this short Tosas here, Vim Tomar, Rait Staka Dichsib Basach, Tiftachas Yadecha, open up your hands and give Staka, Kibiglaha Davar Hazayivarcha Vagomer, because if you do so, you're going to get Bracha. So we see that this is another case where Matan Schara is Bitsida, it's written next to the Pasuk itself. Vamina Parakam de Babasa Dafches, where the sugis at Staka are discussed, the Rava Akvela Rav Nasan Bar Ami, that the Rava did, he forced Rav Nasan to give Staka. Vapik Mine Arba Mezuza, let Staka, he forced him to give money. So if Tzedak, in fact, is Matan Schir Betzida, it mentions the Schar in the Torah, so how did Rava have the right to enforce a punishment? We said Bez and Shamata cannot intervene when it's Matan Schir Betzida. So Tosus answers, Vomer Rabbeinu Tam, two answers. Number one is the Akfe Hainud Bedvar. When it said Rava forced Rav Nasan, it wasn't forcing with aggression, with the physical, with hitting. It was Bedvarm. He was trying to convince him, to encourage him. Kedash Chan Perak Nara B'Ksuvas Akfe Val. Fine, that's one shot. Shatui says, V'od, Dibitstaka Nami Ika Lav Lo Tikbot Lo Sa'amitz. We're only talking about when there's a mitzvah asay, shematan schar mitzida. But if there's also a lav attachment, that's more serious, so then they are allowed to intervene, even if it's matan schar mitzida.
It's a little shvach, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying because you can give to somebody else, it's under mitzvah to
give to someone else.
Meaning, you can't force somebody to give to everybody.
No, it could be to the Kupa Saka, the city.
Yeah, exactly. The ringer from Rabbi Shmuel, it's that this Rami Bar Tamri, he had intestinal problems, he had no food, he was wearing borrowed clothing, and he's collecting udders from the garbage and roasting them outside the city. Like, why would he not just ask to be hosted somewhere, and why would nobody host him? Like, this is
right.
It's like the most destitute.
Because
it said, you see how far,
how
Tamil
come,
not to be
Nana
from other people.
Very good. So, then the Gemara says, halfway down the Amud here, so Abai said to Rav Safra, Rav Safra, when you go back to Eretz Yisrael, please ask the following question on my behalf. Boy Minayu, ask from them, Kavda Mahu Asambu, what is your psak with regards to a kaved? A kaved is a liver. Now, liver has a lot of the blood that's it's in the liver. So Rashi explains to Shiloh, if you look around five narrow lines down in Rashi, kavda ma atem noaginbo, muta lavashi b'kadera, you're allowed to cook the kaved, the liver, in the pot. Oh, asr mipnei shepoladam, or because it all the blood is removed, so now it's being cooked in blood, which of course is asr. The afa pisha kuladam, even though all of liver is blood, afil hachi la'acha shepir shviyotza harehu dam v'asr. Meaning, so long as the blood is still embedded in the kaved, it's permitted. Once it's extracted, even though it might return back in, then it becomes asr. But so long as it hasn't pierced, hasn't separated, that's not a problem. So that's the shaila. When you cook it, the blood comes out, and then it's going to go back in the kaved, that's going to be asr. So what's your psak with respect to a kaved? Now, Tosafot points out, this is all true when you didn't salt the liver. If you salted the liver, there's no shaila, because the salt removes all the kaved. Tosafot points out, in his time, everyone practiced, they would roast the kaved. When you roast something, all the blood just falls out. After roasting it, they would then cook it, whatever was left over. That's permitted. So we know meliach hareo kiroseach, salting functions the same way as roasting. So just like roasting extracts all the blood, so to salting would extract all the blood, and then it would certainly be permitted to cook the kaved. Our whole shaila here is in a situation where it wasn't salted. So that's the question he wanted to be asked in Eretz Yisrael. So Gemara says, Kisalak, when Rav Safra ascended to Eretz Yisrael, Ashkech el Rav Zrika, he found that Rav Zrika was there. Amrlei, Ana Shakali the Rabbi Ami, I once cooked a kaved for Rabbi Ami, a liver for Rabbi Ami, v'achal, he ate it. So Kiyos the Gave, so when he came to him, he reported back, Amrlei, Lemeisen Afshelokim Barley. I knew, I wasn't asking about the kaved itself. I knew the kaved itself, that liver, the liver itself is completely fine. That's not a shaila at all. The question I had was, Kikim and Barley, the Meser Chaverte, that to Aser, the one that's next. So just look at Rashi to explain what's going on here. Lob me Barley, the Pshitali, it was obvious to me, said Abaye, the Chaven, the Chuda, he lefloat. Since the cover is busy extracting all the blood, Ulahotzi Kol Shah Lob Bala. We know it can only go one direction at a time. If it's being Pole Dam, it can't be Balea. So the covenant itself is certainly permitted. My shaila is, says Rashi, kimi bai li lemeser chaverte, it's a counterpart. Im dam hayotzi mimena oser baser acher hamisbashel imo, if you put the liver mixed together with other pieces of meat, will that blood now enter into the other piece of meat and aser the other ones? So Gemara says, my shna lemeser nafshe dilo mi bai lecha. Why, when it came to the covenant itself, you didn't have a question? Because the Tanan, the Mishnah tells us, eino neseres, it doesn't become aser. Lemeisa chaverta to aser something else, another piece of meat. Nami lo tibay lecha. You shouldn't have a shaila either, because that same Mishnah tells us the Masechah Shumos the Tana kaved oseres veino neeseres. It's oser, it asers other things, but it itself doesn't become neeseres. Mipnei, for the reason of shehi poletes veino bolas, because it extracts blood but isn't able to absorb blood. So it's eino neeseres, but it is oseres. Oseres veino neeseres. That's the din. So Amalei, Abai says back to him, Dilma Hasam Bekveda Di Yisur. Maybe that liver that the Mishnah Chumos is describing is a liver that's a trefa, that comes from a trefa of an animal. That's why it's Asur. Umishim Shamna Nuse. But in terms of the fat that's by the liver, that's what's asering other items. But Mishim Dam Amai, we don't know the dinas of a kosher liver where we're concerned with the dam. That you can't bring a rye from Masechah Shumos. We have no clear indication that Masechah Shumos is referring to a kosher kaved. Maybe it's only that of a trefa. So Mai, what's the din? So Kiyadar Salek, so Rav Safar went back to Eretz Yisrael. And Ashkel Rav Zrika, he found Rav Zrika yet again. Amalei, hi nami lo tibalecha. He says this too, there's no shaila. When the kaved, in terms of asking other meat, dana v'yanai b'reidi Rabbi Ami, the two of us, iklarin lebe Yehuda, b'reidi Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi. V'krivelon, he brought to us a kanya b'kufya v'achalna. What does that mean? Rashi says four narrow lines down. Kanya b'kufya, hakana, the windpipe, im koha mechubrelo, that connected all that which is attached to it, which is the rea, the lungs, halev, the heart, vakavid, the liver. It brought us the whole windpipe and all the three organs attached to it, the kul and the spashu yacha, they were all cooked together, and we ate it. So clearly we see that the kaved does not aser other pieces of meat that's there as well. Okay, we'll stop here. Mitzvah Hashem, we'll continue tomorrow.
Are the livers we eat unsalted?